Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thank you for joining me on this midweek edition of the podcast. And, of course, game night tonight, Grizzlies taking on the Knicks. We'll have some good news, bad news on the injury front there, plus a look at some of the things that have changed in the early days of J.B. Bickerstaff's time as the Grizzlies head coach. And we'll kind of take a look at what the Grizzlies need to do in order to turn this thing into an actual winning streak, not just one win out of 12, but two wins in a row. Could it be possible? Maybe? Possibly? Hard to say. This is, of course, a Wednesday edition, which means it is Draft Wednesday, brought to you by Draft. It is such a hot app. Go get it right now. Draft in your app store, whether you're on Android, iPhone, doesn't matter. Go get it. It is free to download. And you know what? When you try it, you get a free entry as well using the promo code LOGrizzlies. I am in there. Follow me at Locked On Grizz when you sign up for Draft. And again, use that promo code LOGrizzlies when you do. Here's the thing. Draft helps you in single-day fantasy avoid all the sharks, avoid all the whales, avoid all the computerized stuff that has plagued some of the much bigger sites that are out there. This is a chance for you to have fun, actually succeed, win, and do something that really, you know what, it's worth your time. The other places aren't really worth your time. This is very much worth your time. It is fun. One of the cool things you can do also that we like to do is set up small groups so you can have your own little group with just, you know, a few buddies, and you can throw in a few bucks and everybody have a little fun with it. And you don't have to have some kind of elaborate big thing. Now, you can do it if you want. If you want some big elaborate thing, you can win lots and lots of money too. But it's up to you. You get to have fun with it, and it's really different in that regard. You can actually win. You don't have to be some big shark. You don't have to be somebody that's part of some kind of syndicate or something crazy. You can actually win with Draft. Again, download the Draft app. Get started right away. It is fantasy the way it is supposed to be. The fun part of fantasy, the draft, not full of all these people that are actually kind of gaming the system, but real folks that are out there getting it done for you, and you can, hey man, you can win. You can win on top of it. It's really cool. Check it out. Draft Wednesday on the pod. It's sponsored by Draft. Get Draft right now. Use the promo code LOGrizzlies when you download the Draft app for free on the app store of your choosing. Have some fun with Draft. We'll see if the Grizzlies can have some fun tonight as they take on the Knicks. Now, just right out of the gate, the good news, bad news on the injury front is as follows. There is excellent news for the Grizzlies. Chandler Parsons is off the injury list, which means he is expected to play in tonight's game. And I'm not surprised by this. If you listen to the pod earlier on, I talked Monday or Tuesday, I guess it was, about Parsons, and I've watched him play. I watched him, in fact, before the game on Monday, go through an extensive warm-up that was very similar to the one that he would go through if he was playing, maybe even more intense. And he looked great. And he was a little bit bemused, I guess, by the fact that he wasn't playing. Not really up to him. The Grizzlies are, you know, understandably taking extreme precautions with his recovery because of, well, obvious reasons. So they're not going to rush the guy out on the court or anything. But he looked great. I would have never, there was no bracing of any kind on the knee. Everything looked good. And I would have thought, if I didn't know better, I would have thought that he was going to be ready to play that night. So for him, it's not surprising that this whole thing is kind of being handled with kid gloves. I'm also not surprised that he is going to play tonight, or I'd be surprised if he didn't. I don't know that it's been official that he's going to play, but he's not on the injury list and he looked great. So I would assume that he's going to return to play tonight. Now, from his role, that will be interesting to see, you know, based on the lineups that we've gone through thus far. I suspect what will happen, and what probably should happen at this point, is for him to replace Dylan Brooks as the three, send Dylan back to the bench now. I think Dylan's time as a starter, you know, he made some big shots throughout that time, including on Monday night. I think he's really learned a lot. It's a lot of really valuable experience for the guy, but it's pretty obvious that he's started to struggle more and more over the course of time, that his numbers have dwindled a little bit as time has gone on. His regular numbers are kind of normal. Not a lot of difference between him as a starter and him as a bench player. But if you look at the, you know, kind of the details of it, he's not as active. He doesn't get to the foul line nearly as much. He takes fewer shots as a starter, which you would understand because he's playing with guys that you know, like Mark, and, you know, now of late Tyreek, but guys that take more shots. So that's not really surprising. The thing that is really amazing is that, you know, his offensive rating is quite a bit lower as a starter than as a bench player, and the defensive rating is quite a bit higher, which is bad. Defensively especially, he has not graded out especially well. Because I think the pace, you know, he benefits. He's one of those guys that benefits from playing at a faster pace, and the Grizzlies have slowed down notably since J.B. Bickerstaff's arrival. That's the one thing that jumps out. When you look at the numbers, we'll do a more extensive look at this probably after tonight's game, when there'll be five games in the book. That's probably a good enough sample. But even in the early reckoning, I can tell you that the Grizzlies have just slowed it way down, you know, since J.B. arrived. I think that's, you know, part of that is that two of those games are against the Spurs, who certainly can play extremely slow, so that's part of it. But overall, you can just see that it's been a monstrous drop-off in pace. Even in the games against, you know, the teams that would be, you know, Minnesota plays, theoretically, they could play a little faster. They're not a super fast team by any stretch. Yeah, Cleveland certainly can get up and down when they want to. But none of those teams are the Rockets. None of those teams are Brooklyn that they're going to play at a really mega fast pace. So you have to take that into account. But even factoring in for that, the Grizzlies have really cranked down the pace numbers, especially when Marc Gasol has been on the floor. And that has affected Dylan Brooks, I think, as a guy who would benefit greatly from playing a little bit faster, playing a little bit looser with that unit that he played with, you know, the bench guys that were much more high energy. So going back to that bench, if they can recreate without Mike Conley, and there will be no Mike Conley tonight, no Wayne Selden, still no Brandon Wright, although I think they're a little bit more encouragement on that front. If they could find a way to create, even with those limitations, a little more pace on that group and have a different approach, then that might be better. I don't know if you can do that with Chalmers out there. I don't know if you can do that with Andrew Harrison out there. But I think you can start to do that, and that would help Dylan Brooks overall. But Chandler Parsons, back to the original point, Parsons coming back will, I think, allow, if he's ready to play, I think he's best suited to play at the three. That's what JB has talked about, that he sees him as a three. So he'll start as that three alongside Jermichael and Mark, and then probably Ben McLemore still at the two, and Tyreek at the one. I think that's probably the best lineup the Grizzlies can throw out there. It's the most versatile. It's the one that's probably got the most offensive capability. And it's the one they should roll with, you know, more often than not, against a Knicks team that is going to welcome back Kristaps Porzingis, most likely, to the matchup tonight. He's missed the last few games with that ankle sprain. He was day-to-day. It looks like he's going to be good to go based on reports out of New York tonight. So that is certainly going to be a little bit of a blow. You hate to see that dude. That dude's been amazing to start the season. So him coming back is problematic, but with the Grizzlies, a little momentum, you never know. Mentioned that Andrew Harrison is a guy that, you know, as coming off the bench, is one of the options, certainly. And he's kind of taken over some minutes over the last few games that would have normally gone to Mario Chalmers. And Chalmers' numbers have dwindled quite a bit. He's just not been all that great. And he seems to be getting worse over the course of the season. And Harrison, I tweeted about this, but it's remarkable thus far. Harrison played in 14 games, actually 13 games, as a Grizzly under David Fizdale this year. And in those 13 games, he was a minus 18.3 net rating, which is horrible. unbelievably bad in the amount of minutes that he played. It was a decent amount of minutes, too. He started, as you know, for a little while. He was, that's 18. The team, that means the team was 18 points per 100 possessions worse than the opposition when Andrew Harrison was on the floor. Again, that's a number where the Grizzlies in that same stretch of time as a team were 1.1 points per 100 possessions worse. He was 18 points worse. Yikes. Incredible. So he kind of was pushed to the side. Defensively, especially, you know, the number was horrible. Harrison really struggled defensively. He let his, I think, struggles on the offensive end affect him. His what we know is he's got potential to play defense. He's a physical guy, big guy. He tends to be a little bit pesky. He's not the fastest dude, but he's got the fundamentals of defense. The guy can play. So his really poor effort to start the season, confidence, whatever it may be, him not having the ball in his hands as much, it just all bled over on both the offensive and defensive ends. But that has changed in the four games that he has played, because he was immediately kind of put back into the mix with JB. His numbers are huge. He's now a plus 15 in those four games. So he's gone from a minus 18 to a plus 15. That's a 33-point per 100 possession difference for one guy, Andrew Harrison. It's incredible. 118 offensive rating, 103 defensive rating. Again, that defensive rating is much, much better. The offensive rating is like light years better. I mean, from 94 to 118. So 24 points per 100 possessions better on the offensive end for Andrew Harrison in that time. Now, I get it. This is what everyone says. Small sample size. Yeah, I got it. It is. Everything is a small sample size. In the scheme of statistics, this entire season thus far is a small sample size. So, yeah, small subsets within that, certainly you got to factor that in. But don't discount it completely. Don't discount what you've seen completely. Part of the reason why I think Andrew Harrison has succeeded is the same thing we talked about with Chandler Parsons, Marc Gasol, and Dylan Brooks. Pace. I think Harrison benefits from a more deliberate pace. Harrison is a half-court type guy. I don't think you want Andrew Harrison running around in transition. He's not quick. He's a guy that needs to work within the team framework defensively, and you know he can get it done there. But you don't want that dude to be, you know, trying to be freelancing and having fun. He's not John Wall. So backing that down a little bit has helped Harrison play better, has looked better, and he's one of the guys, he's far and away the guy that has improved the most under J.B. Bickerstaff. It still remains to be seen the rest of the group because, you know, no one has really had a change that's quite that extraordinary. You know, there have been some guys, you know, Jermichael Green, for example, is a little bit better. Marc Gasol is actually a little bit worse from a net rating standpoint through those four games. You know, James Ennis, even though you might think, and I would have definitely thought, that his number would be better, in fact, it is not. You know, James Ennis is actually a little bit worse net rating-wise over those four games of J.B. Bickerstaff than he was in the 18 that he played with David Fizdale. Not much. He was a minus 5 in those games. He's a minus 6 with JB. But again, it just goes to show you that it's not always, the eye test is not always definitive in these things. It's not always as good or as bad as it appears. And that's why you need to go and look at the numbers and get a feel for, you know, where things are. The eye test tells you that Andrew Harrison has played a lot better. And then you go and look at the numbers and it's confirmed it. Sometimes things happen that you can't always see, or that you don't always pay attention to. This is why you go back and you need to watch film, and coaches watch the same game, you know, multiple times. You'll have multiple coaches watching the same film multiple times. You need extra eyes on it because you can't watch every action. Nobody, when you're watching the game, you can't watch all five players on your team and the opposition team simultaneously. You have to go back and see what was each guy supposed to do, what did they do, how did that all play out? And that's why the eye test is limited. I don't I would never say that you should never. I mean, the eye test is crucial. You have to you have to watch, but you have to watch in a specified way, and you have to allow these numbers to kind of push you in a direction, or at least allow them, be open-minded when you look at them and see if what you're seeing when you truly watch that player is reinforcing those numbers, or is it going against those numbers? And, you know, is there a, are they in balance or not? That's just stuff that kind of goes along with this sort of discussion. And when you take a 4-game sample, limited sample size into account, you can't get a feel for what JB Bickerstaff's Grizzlies look like versus Fizdale's Grizzlies. But in the case of a Harrison thing, you can look at such a wide gap that obviously role, confidence, whatever it may be, that has changed. When guys haven't changed much, then, you know, there's probably not much that you can say and you can really see. But when it's changed like Harrison's, it definitely makes a huge difference. Now, we saw the Grizzlies take some good things from the San Antonio game, the first one, JB's first game in charge last Wednesday, and basically flush them in the fourth quarter of the Friday night big loss to the Spurs at home. Then back flipping the pendulum, very good in Cleveland, and weren't as good offensively back at home against Minnesota in the win, but defensively really good and really connected in a way we haven't seen in a long time from this group. Now the question is, can you carry that over to the game tonight? Can you actually carry some of that stuff over? It's not enough to say, okay, well, you know, you did it here, you did it. The connection has to be there. I think part of that is what Tyreke Evans talked about. If you heard the comments on yesterday's pod, he said, you know, he talked about team meeting. He talked about guys clearing the air. There were guys that had some disagreements with how he played. And, you know, that stuff gets out there. But Tyreke, to me, is a guy that now is playing for the first time as a legit point guard. And a, you know, it's been forever since he was really a true point guard, not a scoring combo, ball handling combo guy, but an actual orchestrating point guard who's being asked to shoulder some of that load along with just scoring. You know, it's not like the assists are just a little side note. This is something that you really have to have with Tyreke. He's got to keep the offense moving. That is a big adjustment for him. And I think part of that adjustment was getting on the wrong side of some teammates. But that seems to have been resolved. Everything was much less worrisome. Things look good, much calmer locker room on Monday night. And I think Tyreke, obviously, the game in Cleveland was spectacular with 31-12. But even in a smaller way, the game on Monday was really a nice, very calm, very composed 16-9, which in some ways is even more reassuring that, you know, he can play a little bit more of a diminished offensive role and still positively affect the game with passing, with other aspects. That has not always been proven from Tyreke. So it was a good sign on Monday that's the way that it kind of went down. Now, I still think the best way for this team to compete is for Mark and Tyreke tonight to basically take half or more of the shots. The way it all plays out, there will be, you know, defensive opportunities. You will see the Knicks focus in, as you would expect, on Mark. You will see them key in on him. You will see them try to make other guys beat them. But at the end of the day, it's about those guys. It's about Mark and about Tyreke. And they have to score and score pretty big for the Grizzlies to compete on a regular basis in these games. If you look at the standings going into tonight's game, Grizzlies have gotten some help because everybody in the West continues to just kind of flounder around, with the exception, the Jazz have been on a nice run, but they lost last night to the Thunder. Thunder are now winners of 3 straight. They seem to have found a little consistency. The rest of the teams between 4 and 11 all lost their last game. So the Grizzlies, it could be worse. It could be worse. Even though, you know, they've certainly lost a great deal of ground. And they're still 3.5 back of the Pelicans for that last spot. Pelicans are without Anthony Davis for a little while. Jazz were without Gobert for a while. He's coming back. They got great performances from Donovan Mitchell, and their offense has been crazy since Gobert was gone. How they work him back in, that may be a little bit of an adjustment, period. The Timberwolves were scuffling. They are 8-9 in their last 17 games, and I was not impressed at all with what I saw from the Timberwolves on Monday night, especially on the offensive end, figuring out how to use Karl Anthony Towns. Very disappointing that they couldn't find a way to use a tremendous weapon like that a little more effectively. Blazers, I think, are still going to be there. The Nuggets, you know, they've had some weird performances without Millsap, and even though I think they're still going to be fine, that they've not by any stretch been dominant. The teams that we expected to be really good are really good. Rockets killing it right now, best team in basketball at the moment. The Warriors, what more needs to be said? And the Spurs, you know how good those teams are. They are living up to that level. The rest of the West is a little bit vulnerable. And I still think the Grizzlies, as much as we can talk about how the season has gone, and God knows it's been basically a disaster so far, as bad as it has been, the Grizzlies profile to a team that's a little bit better than this. And as long as the West kind of stays scrapping, then the Grizzlies can at least convince themselves that this is still a doable proposition to get back into the postseason with Mike Conley. As long as the Grizzlies are within 4 or 5 games of that playoff spot when Conley comes back, and as long as these teams that are in between them and the spot keep scuffling, they have opportunities. It's when those teams start putting it together and when the Grizzlies find themselves 5, 6, 7, you know, or more games out, then okay. That may impact what they do. That may impact whether they become a buyer or a seller at the trade deadline. And they have some interesting things that they could do in that department if they decide to go in that direction. But right now, as bad as it's been, I mean, you would think coming off of an 11-game losing streak and just having really been bad, you would think that puts you way out of touch. And really, in truth, they're closer than they deserve. So get another win tonight. Got a lot of home games, even if they're tough home games coming up. Win a few of those, and things are totally different. You lose them, and you're right back in the poop. We'll find out which is which coming up here in a few hours. Thank you, as always, for listening to Locked on Grizzlies on this Draft Wednesday. Get in touch with me. I'm at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. You can also follow me there, and I would love to have you on board. On top of that, if you want to send me an email longer, you can do that, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. I would appreciate you sending that email. Thank you for the reviews and for the kind words about the podcast and for spreading it around to friends, family, colleagues, loved ones, hated ones, whoever that you want to send this to. That's great. Let them know about it. Have them subscribe, because subscriptions are always appreciated and even better. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you post-game on this edition of Locked on Grizzlies.